And so as we come today, we must realize that all of this is for God's glory. Man's, here are these enemies, I've got to deal with them. And he goes in his own strength without prayer, and he's defeated. Now let me tell you, that'll happen in your life too. And you will soon discover that without grace, without God's power in your soul, and without his blessing, that all your efforts are failures.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today again we're continuing our message on living for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that's the burden of our heart today, that men and women may be brought by grace to, firstly, a true conversion in Jesus Christ, a true understanding of the Word of God, and then an obedient heart to walk in the light of that Word. Now, we call that growth in knowledge, growth in grace. A lot of people have a zeal, but it's not a zeal according to knowledge. And so we're turning to this text today in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we are searching the Scriptures on what the Bible has to say. Stay with us. We're turning firstly to our tune of music, Satisfied. Are you satisfied?
All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within.
And we take those words of our Lord Jesus to heart. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so the person who's living sola dea gloria will live a life of prayer, a life of real personal communion with the Lord. Grace and faith in the power of the Spirit, it sets true converts a-praying. Now we're commanded by our Lord to pray without ceasing. He says men ought always to pray and not to faint, that in all things by prayer and supplication we're to let our requests be made known unto God. And of course we soon learn through our failures that only what's done by prayer in the strength of the Lord and not on our human flesh, we soon learn that only what's done through prayer achieves anything. When you read the life of King David, and all the enemies and the battles that he fought, every time that an enemy came against him and he prayed, Lord, shall I go up against these Philistines? Shall I go up against these enemies? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord told him exactly what to do every time he conquered. But then there are times when David didn't pray and the enemy came out and David just assumed it was time to go to battle. Here are these enemies, I've got to deal with them. And he goes in his own strength without prayer and he's defeated. Now, let me tell you, that'll happen in your life too. And you will soon discover that without grace, without God's power in your soul, and without his blessing, that all your efforts are failures. And you will soon come to the point, through grace, through this desire to glorify God in your life, you will come like the disciples and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And you as a Christian, you must go into the school of prayer. There is a new school of prayer for every Christian where you must learn to lay hold on God, to plead with God, to lay hold on God's promises, to make them personal to you. The Lord says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And without a life of prayer, you cannot live the sola deo gloria life. You're still living confident in the flesh. And let me tell you, the further you go on in your Christian life, the more you will learn to rely on the Lord and not on yourself. It's not a matter of building yourself up the ABC building blocks of the Christian life, and then you stand on the plateau, and there you have victory all the time. No. You realize that you're walking on marshy ground, and every step has new dangers and new possibilities of falling. And you need to live a life of prayer. And you need to live in the grace and the power of God. Now let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you a person living for God's glory? Have you realized the need to be a man or woman of prayer? Real prayer, earnest prayer. I don't think anyone could say, I'm living sola dea gloria, for the glory of God alone, if they're not daily in prayer. You couldn't do that. That would just be impossible. Now, the third thing we come to is that the person who's living for God's glory is a purpose-driven man or woman. Now, we refer to the unconverted man as a lost soul because he's going to a lost hell. And he's like a prodigal. The unconverted person is a prodigal, and the word prodigal simply means waster. He's wasting his life, he's wasting his time, he's wasting his gifts, and he'll come to a sad, bitter end. That's the life of being a prodigal. Now, the opposite to being a prodigal, and by the way, the Greek word just puts the negative in front of this word, save. The prodigal saves nothing. He's a waster. He doesn't save anything. He wastes everything. But once you're a Christian, you're a saver. And you now have a purpose. And the blessings that God gives you, whether it's financial, assets, business, home, family, the good things that God gives you in your life, you want to make proper use of them. You now are the purpose-driven person. I want to use everything to the glory of God. Now, there are two Bible texts that come to my mind when I think of this. Number one is Psalm 1, the man planted by the water, the tree planted by the water, the river's edge. There's a symbol of the person living sola dea gloria, enjoying life on the river's edge, and his leaf shall not wither, and everything he does shall prosper, as the sola dea gloria man. The other text that comes to my mind is Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. There is the purpose-driven man. And so what's he going to do? He's going to search the Scriptures. He's going to be a Bible-focused man. And everything he wants to do, he wants to know the will of God. He wants to prove what is God's will. And what will bring God glory by my decisions and actions in life. Now, let me ask you, are you a Bible student? It really comes down to the discipline, the joy, but the rigor of studying your Bible. You're not growing in your Bible and Bible knowledge. You can't say that you're living sola dea gloria. Let me ask you, did you bring your Bible to church today? I would hate the day that this congregation comes to church without a Bible. I know of churches, they don't use Bibles anymore. I don't know what the preacher does, but the people just don't seem to feel a need for the Bible. I would really, really be so discouraged if people came to God's house and didn't bring their Bible. You see, the whole call of worship, the whole call of preaching, it's to be a word-centered, Bible-centered ministry that sends people away with the knowledge of God's will for your life. And if the preacher has not set that out in some way or manner, then it becomes a mindless, purposeless, useless exercise. The Psalm 123 gives a very clear picture of this, that as a servant looks at the face of his master or the hand of his master, Psalm 123, verse 2, you can look this up sometime. It is the servant looking at the hand of his master. Now, you can picture someone, I don't know, their basket weaving, carpentry work, embroidery, whatever it is. And there is the servant sitting close by, and at every new phase of work, maybe the master needs a new tool, and maybe he needs a new thread, a new ball of wool, new supply of some kind. And the servant, by daily exercise, gets to know the routine. And so that at every step, you know, well, pass me this, pass me the other thing. Now, will you stand over there? Get me this, get me that. It becomes an interaction that's natural. The servant learns exactly what's next needed. I suppose it's like our modern experience would be a dental assistant. You know, when you're lying there back there and your face is up to the ceiling and he's working right in your mouth, if the dentist needed to explain every little step to the assistant, oh, I need you to do this and do it in a certain way, the right size, the right shape, the right time, it would become a laborious thing. But when people are working together, they get to know what the need is. Now, if you are living for God's glory, and if you're in tune with God, and if you're in His Word, you will become as that servant looking to the hand of your master, ready to serve. You will know the mind of God, and you will know the very will of God. Now, we've been warned to be not just doers of God's word, not just hearers of it, but doers. And the Lord Jesus taught that it's not they that say, Lord, Lord, but those that doeth His word are likened to the wise man that built his house on the rock. That's our sermon for tonight, by the way. That's going to be the message tonight. Building for eternity against the floods of this world. And if I may say to you, Christian, there's going to be floods that'll come against you. The enemy will come in like a flood. And it's not those who say, Lord, Lord. It's those who are doers of His word that are like the wise man building on the rock. And so the man who lives in Sola Deo Gloria, he will be a Bible-based Bible student because it will make him purpose-driven. Gives him a reason to live. And in the major decisions of life, and indeed in even the smaller things, why are you doing this? And husbands and wives, this comes into your marriage. Why are we doing this? The first reason should be the glory of God. And our wife might say, I don't like this. And the husband might say, I don't like it either. But it's for the glory of God. And that becomes the unifying factor in our decisions, in our walk, in our every step of life, that we might glorify Him.
For I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust I'd gathered round me only mocked my soul sad cry. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my
Now, time's going on, so I want to get to the next one here, and that is, he lives as a practical, godly man. Because he's pardoned, because he's praying, because he is now Bible or purpose-driven, he becomes a practical, godly Christian. As a worker, well, the Bible says, if he will not work, neither shall he eat. This is not a recipe for laziness and for taking the shortcut. This is what our text says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. As a husband, what kind of husbands should we be? And we are told in the Scripture, as Christ loved the church, we're to love our wives. You want to live Sola Deo Gloria? It gets to as practical as this. To love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now that was a sacrificial love. It was not a love that insisted His way. No, the Lord laid down His life for the church. He surrendered His all for the church. And men, this becomes the practical godliness that's expected of us. As a father, the burden of every father will be the conversion of his children, and that his children walk and live for the glory of God. And when we see our children turn from that, when we see our children reject that pathway that has a single eye to God's glory, it is the greatest grief. It becomes the greatest burden to us. Not because it's our pride, not because it's our show, but because we see our own children, whom we have sought to teach and train and walk in the light of God's word, they turn from that, they go the way of the world or the way of their own devices, that becomes a burden and a great grief. Also, as a helper to others, the Sola Deo Gloria Christian, the one thing that you want to be is a help to God's children. In fact, you would pray like this, Lord, if I'm getting in the way, if I'm hindering, take me out of the way. Don't let me stand as a hindrance to another Christian, causing him to fall, causing him to be discouraged. The person who's living for God's glory with a purpose-driven, practical godliness, we want to be useful to God. We want to bring glory to his name. And if there's anything that causes us to stop the blessing, the fellowship, the friendship, we want to deal with it. Now, I'm going to ask you right now, is there anything in your life that's causing grief to another Christian? Anything that you are purposely doing to bring down a brother or a sister? You say, Pastor, come on, how would I do that? Stopping to pray for them, becoming critical, getting to the point where you really have no fellowship, no friendship. You do your duty, but you don't come with that loving embrace and that warm friendship that ought to encourage your brother and sister out of the love of Christ. We need to search our hearts on that. If you're living sola Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone, you'll not want to be that hindrance of a brother or sister, or the work of God, or the testimony of the Lord Jesus, but rather you'll want to lift them up, help them up, and you'll pray, Lord, make me useful. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now the fifth one is the Sola Deo Gloria person will be a persevering Christian. Persevering. Do all to the glory of God. Do it daily. Do it fully. Do it right to the end. There's never a time when this text doesn't apply to us. We can't say, well, I'm too old now. It's too late now. No, there's never a time when this doesn't apply. And of course, Satan wants us to give up. And there are times when in the Christian life, you're beaten and harassed by the enemy, and the attitude would be, it would be better, it would be easier to give up. But if we are in the place where we're serving God in his will, and our burden is to glorify him, then you can't give up. You can't give up. You can't surrender. You can't turn back. Our Lord Jesus warned us, he that looketh back cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, plowing is not easy. Plowing is a very strenuous task. And it's tedious to be a plowman. And someone has said that the Lord is not looking for racehorses in his church. He's looking for plow horses. And there's a difference between the racehorse and the plow horse. The racehorse, of course, he gets to the starting line, and it's just a short whiz of speed, and that's it. The race is run, or he's done his best. But the plow horse, his task is to trod the furrows day after day after day, to plow that straight furrow. And the Lord used that picture as the Christian life. And we are called to plow a straight furrow in this life. And there are many times when you would want to look back Now, you know the plowman, he looks back. He can't plow a straight furrow. Once you start looking back, you've lost sight of the goal. So we can't look back. If you look back, you become defeated. You've got to keep your eye upon the Lord. And it's for His glory that we plow on and serve Him with all of our heart and with all of our strength. We read in the Bible of a man called Demas, having loved this present evil world, he turned back. What a discouragement he was to the Apostle Paul and to many others. Now, Christian, just think about this. Once you start looking back, and once you turn back, you become a discouragement to God's people. You lose sight of the goal of living sola Deo gloria. And that's because the Christian life is not all about me. It's not all about the preacher. It's not all about the deacon. It's not all about the Sunday school teacher or the members or the attendees of the church. It's not about the individual. It's about the glory of God. It's the glory of God. And that has to be our goal. And I want you to take this text to heart today. I want you to take it home with you. Perhaps you could write it out in large letters and put it on your fridge. Put it in your notebook. Put it in the steering wheel of your car, if you will. Here's a text to live by, and it's going to make you a different man or woman. You'll never live the old life again. And whatever the challenges, whatever the crossroads, whatever the issues you face, this maxim, this truth, I'm living for God's glory, it's going to change you. It's going to affect you in each and every way. And so I leave this with you today, and I pray that you will pray much about it and pray over it. And may it be a truth that will grow in us, and a change that will grow in us. When it comes, why do we come to worship? Should I come back to the evening service in the church at 5:30 to the prayer meeting and to the evening service? Should I be here? Well, let me ask you, what will glorify God? That's the answer. What will bring glory to God? Sitting at home doing other things, or coming back to the house of God to worship Him? Should we be at the prayer meeting of the church? Well, the question is, what will bring glory to God? What will help me to live better equipped, better in tune with Him, and bring glory to His name? Should I go on outreach? Should I help those that are giving out the gospel? Should I talk to my neighbor about the gospel? Should I set aside certain times of my life that I get into this Bible? Well, the answer has to be, what will bring glory to God? And if you're convinced that it doesn't bring glory to God, then don't do it. Otherwise, if you're convinced that it does glorify God, then it becomes the very principle upon which we live. May the Lord bless you today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for hearing this message. I pray the Lord will use it in all of our lives. And pray for me. Pray for me as your pastor, that I will become a man in my preaching, in my praying, in my work as a pastor, that I will work not for some man-centered agenda, but truly for the glory of God.
Well, I want to sincerely thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. It has been a great privilege to have you with us on air, and I trust that God will be your portion and give you that fire in your soul to live for Him day by day. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're coming just to a few quotes on the presence and the power of the Lord our God. Giving sacrificially is one of the marks of a man who loves and honors God. There was a man who boasted that religion had been to him a very cheap thing, costing him only a few cents a year. A good man said to him, "The Lord have mercy on your little stingy soul. If a man has no more religion than that, if he has not a religion that will make him generous, he has no religion at all." A merchant in America had devoted a large part of his money for the maintenance of the cause of Christ, and one said to him, "What a sacrifice you make every year." Said he, "Not so, I have a clerk. Suppose I give that clerk £50 to pay a schoolmaster, and when he goes to the schoolmaster he should say, 'Here is your salary.' What a sacrifice it is
to me to give you that. Why? The schoolmaster would say, Sir, it is not yours. It is no sacrifice at all to you. So said this good man, I gave up all when I came to God. I became his steward, and no longer head of the firm. I made God the head of the firm. And now, when I distribute my wealth, I only distribute it as his trustee, and it is no sacrifice at all. If we talk of sacrifices, we make a mistake. Then, to give God the glory, to whom be glory forever, 2 Timothy 4:18. This should be the single desire of the Christian. I take it that he should not have 20 wishes, but only one. He may desire to see his family brought up well, but only that to God may be glory forever. He may wish for prosperity in business, but only so far as it may help him to promote this. To whom be glory forever. He may desire to attain more gifts and more graces, but it should only be that to him may be glory forever. This one thing I know, Christian, you are not acting as you ought to do when you are moved by any other motive than the one motive of your Lord's glory. Oh, this is our exaltation. This is our joy, our triumph, our blessedness. If we can but promote his glory, the place where we can best promote it shall be our heaven. The sick bed, the hospital, or the poor house shall be our heaven. If we can there best serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of glory. If I might have but one prayer, it would be, O God, glorify thyself in thine own church and in the salvation of men. Let us make that our prayer. And in this new year, let us recognize who God is, that he desires and deserves our service and our worship. And let our every energy, strength, and portion be to bring glory to the God whom we love and serve, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who saved us. Now may the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining with us. Stay tuned for these final few announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.